Our opening hymn for today is hymn number 676.
Thank you.
please stand. Our service begins on page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, I will direct you to your proper insert as we speak together the introit, half verse by half verse. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
For you are my rock and my fortress. Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. We continue with the Kyrie on page 152. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ the Lamb, who was slain, who
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The collect of the day, we pray together the collect of the day as it's found on your propers insert. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The first reading for All Saints' Day comes from Revelation, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, I'll once again direct you to your small catechism insert. Today, we continue our confession on holy baptism. Fourth, what does such baptizing with water indicate?
It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever.
Where is this written?
St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in new life."
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
Thanks of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. When he sat down, the disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Our next hymn for today is number 662.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Beatitudes. That's what this section of Matthew is called. It's the first few verses here on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I have heard and read the Beatitudes more times than I can count. And as it turns out, I don't know what the word beatitude means. So I looked it up. Apparently, it's the Latin word for blessed. That word that starts each individual blessed thing that Jesus describes throughout the beginning of his sermon. Now, too often in our world, when we hear the word blessed, we often think of being happy. In fact, if you look at social media at all, it's always when someone is somewhere wonderful or they're having a great time or they're with their family and they'll talk about how blessed they are because they're having a good time. But blessed in Scripture doesn't necessarily mean just happiness. There's more to being blessed than simply being happy. Something beyond this fleeting happiness that could leave at a moment's notice. And in fact, as we look through the Beatitudes, we find out that almost every single thing that he lists is something negative. It's something unhappy. It's something that we don't want. But this is why it is so important for Jesus to call these people blessed. And so Jesus' sermon is designed for very, very, very specific ears. It's supposed to be for the poor in spirit. His sermon is for those who mourn. His sermon is for the meek. His sermon is for those who long for righteousness. His sermon is for the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. Jesus' sermon is for the saints. And it means that Jesus' sermon is for you. And so we'll take it line by line. First, Jesus starts with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." How many people are poor in spirit, right? Downtrodden, fed up with life, depressed, discouraged. Truth is that we all go through that occasionally. And even if you're having the best day of your life right now, how many of us think that they have enough richness of spirit that they could stand unashamed before God in heaven? No, the poor in spirit are those who recognize that they are literally bankrupt spiritually. The poor in spirit are those who need more than just happiness. They need blessedness. And Jesus doesn't leave us in our poverty of spirit, but instead he lifts us up. He grants us his Holy Spirit. And so he says, yes, this world and all of its problems and all of its troubles and all of its sin, it will make you downcast. It will make you poor in spirit. And some days you just won't want to continue on. And in the midst of those days, know that God has something better in store for you. God has a kingdom of which you will be a part, and you will be a part of it forever. Because Jesus has both died and risen for you to open the gates of that kingdom, that way you might enjoy all of its benefits. Jesus took on the spiritual bankruptcy that you once had, and he died with it on the cross, that way you could have more. Jesus continues with, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And this one, especially on All Saints' Day, brings on a very profound meaning. You know, in our dual parish situation between here in Christ and Zion and Chestnut, we've had 7 deaths this year. 7 deaths. And unfortunately, there is no end in sight. Every year, people will die. It's a sad reality for us in this life, especially during the year 2020. And maybe for you today, All Saints' Day just brings back memories, sad reminders of the lack of someone's presence, someone that you care deeply about, someone who is already with Jesus in heaven. And this is precisely why Jesus needs to give us this blessed promise. Yes, we do mourn in this life, it's true, and Jesus mourned too. When his friend Lazarus died, Jesus wept. Jesus, when he was overlooking the city of Jerusalem, he was so overcome with sadness because they would not believe his words, and Jesus mourned over their lack of belief. Jesus knows what it's like to mourn. He knows what it's like to even see people he loved go into the death of unbelief. But then Jesus also gives us a promise. When you mourn, you will be comforted. Because on the last day, Jesus will raise all people back to life again, and we will be reunited with those we love. With all those who died in the faith, we will live with them forever. And in fact, even today, as I said before our service began, God gives us the opportunity to gather with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, because when Jesus comes to this place, he comes with his saints. He comes with you. And he comes with all of our loved ones who are in heaven. The Lord's Supper is a bridge that unites us with all those who we cannot see any longer. But Jesus isn't done. There are still far more blessings he needs to deliver. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, the word meek, a lot of times in our world, we like to think it means like lowly or humble or somehow powerless. But it actually means quite the opposite. It means that having great power, but instead what you do is you keep it restrained. And this is exactly a description of what Jesus did for us, because he did. He had great power, all of God's power at his fingertips. And he could have used it for himself. And he could have used it selfishly, but he never does. He always uses his power for the benefit of somebody else. Even on the cross, when he's dying there, painful, shedding his blood, and he has all the power of God, so he could literally just step down, strike dead all the people who are standing there, but he refuses. Because he knows that he needs to serve others with his power. And so even as God, he enters into death, that way he might overcome death. And we all have the same opportunity. The truth is that we have power, we have influence, we have resources in this life, and we can use them in one of two ways. We can either use them for ourselves and in selfish ways and to gain more, to gain a little piece of this kingdom, or we can use them to serve the Lord and to serve our neighbor, recognizing that we will inherit the earth. That even if everything we have were to pass away, God has still promised us that when he makes a new heaven and a new earth on the last day, it will belong to us. It will belong to his saints. It will belong to his Christians. And so all the stuff we have now, that's going to pass away. That's going to be gone. But God has something more for us. And so we don't have to cling so tightly to all of those things that God has given us. Instead, we can use it with meekness. Recognize when we have it and restraining ourselves from being selfish. But God's not done. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I can't think of a more Christian description than this. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which of us does not mourn over our sin? Which of us doesn't try so hard to be a perfect person, a perfect Christian, so selfless in everything we do, and yet over and over and over again, we fail to act righteously? It leaves us with this hunger. It leaves us with this desire that we just can't fulfill on our own. And so Jesus has to satisfy us. It's why the first part of our service every single Sunday is to hear the absolution. Because it satisfies our hunger for righteousness. It satisfies our thirst. It reminds us that, yes, we are holy. Yes, you, each and every one of you, is a saint because Jesus' blood has been poured out for you. We can be satisfied with that. Because even in the midst of us not being able to do it on our own, Christ came and did it for us. What's more but hunger and thirst? Christ gives us his very body and his very blood to eat and to drink and to reassure us that, yes, we have forgiveness of sins. Now, this is where the Beatitudes take a shift. By this point, your ears have been filled with all of these blessed promises, and God has taken you from really the lowest state, and he builds you up, and he builds you up, and he builds you up, and he tells you about how blessed you actually are in this life through, of course, what Jesus has done. But now you get different descriptions. It's not just being hungry, it's not being meek, it's not being poor, it's blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You see, living in Jesus Christ, you get to be merciful to those around you. And it's very hard to be merciful. Honestly, we would much rather give people what they deserve. And somebody wrongs us, You almost want to get revenge, right? You want to get your payback. You want them to get their just rewards, right? But God says that we should give them what they don't deserve. That's what mercy is. And the only way we can do this is if we first recognize how merciful God has been to us. He died for us when we didn't deserve it. Why would he do that? For a poor sinner like me, I don't deserve any of that, but yet Christ does it anyway. And so when other people wrong us, when something awful happens and we see some sort of injustice, especially when it's against us, we should be quick to forgive, quick to show mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, again, none of us are pure in heart on our own. We have this sinful heart, right? That sin has so attached itself to that all that pours out of our sinful heart is all sorts of evil. But what does God do with your heart? We sing it in the offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God. God gives you a new heart. Especially through the waters of baptism, God connects you to Jesus. He puts his name on you with the water, and you will see, and it gives you a promise that heavens have now been opened, and that you will one day see God face to face, just as our Beatitude tells us. Because you've been washed, because you've been made clean, because your name is written in the book of life. And so you are blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Once again, who is the one who delivers peace? Now, Christmas isn't all that far away, 2 months. But we know that one of Jesus' names that we hear at Christmas time is Prince of Peace. Jesus gives a peace that the world cannot give. This is, in fact, the very first thing that he spoke to his disciples in the upper room after his resurrection. He said, "Peace be with you." How do we have peace with God? It's only because God has made us his sons and daughters through Jesus' sacrifice. It's only because Jesus can conquer the grave. And so now, no matter what we face in this life, no matter how downtrodden, no matter how poor, no matter how much the world gets us down, we know that we are God's children. And just like any good parent, we know God will continue to take care of us. The Beatitudes, of course, come to a close with kind of a double little list here. He goes, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," which then Jesus expounds more. He says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." God calls you blessed, but the world does not. In fact, the world will make fun of you. The world will tell you that your faith is stupid and that it doesn't make sense. The world doesn't understand what it is to be blessed because the world has no faith. And so the only thing they can do against people who rejoice in these promises of God, even though we have no proof except God's word, all they do is they persecute. They persecute our faith. And in the midst of it, we should never forget that Jesus, too, was persecuted. Beaten, mocked, hung on a tree. And just as Jesus was persecuted and persevered, he grants us to do the same thing. That as we endure the persecution of this life, as we endure the world laughing in our faith over our beliefs, we know that Jesus will gather us to his kingdom, and we know that there we will be blessed. You, me, and all saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I will invite you to stand and open your hymnals to page 158 as we confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made.
Standing with the great multitude of saints before the throne of God and the Lamb, let us join in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to the God of our salvation. Mighty and eternal God, we remember before you the saints and martyrs of every generation who trusted in you in the face of terror and threat. Grant that when facing persecution and trial in our own day, we may be steadfast in faith. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, you established the Church and have granted her your aid and protection through many years. Continue to pour out upon us your Spirit and grace, that we may proclaim your saving name to every corner of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, we give you thanks for the faithful pastors who have spoken to us your word and the church workers who have served us in your name. Grant that we may continue to receive the word and sacrament with willing ears and open hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, we beg your grace that our lives may be ordered by your commands, and we ask you to bless those who govern us in your name. Bless our president, the Congress, our governor, the legislature, and all local officials, that pursuing the path of justice, they may act with humility and honor, for the good of all people. Give wisdom to all who vote this week, and bless its result, that our nation may elect our leaders peacefully and orderly. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, we rejoice that you have rescued us from the power of death, and raised us in Christ to dwell with him in everlasting life. Give to those who grieve the comfort of the promise of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal life. And bestow your peace upon the dying, that they may fall asleep here and awaken in your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, you continue to guard us as your own possession. According to your will, give healing to the sick, calm to the troubled in mind, and patience to those facing sorrow and struggle. Give health and peace to our nation. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, your Son has set his table among us in the presence of our enemies, giving us a foretaste of the eternal feast to come. Prepare us in heart and mind to come to this sacrament and receive the blessing of his body and blood for our benefit. Deliver us from divisions that prevent our communion together, and bring us soon to the day when we will be faithfully united in doctrine and life to the glory of your name. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, bring us to that day when every tear shall be wiped from our eyes, and we shall hunger and thirst no more, knowing you now by faith, We yearn for the day when we shall know you face to face. Until the dawn of that eternal day, keep us in your faith and fear through our good shepherd and Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We continue with the offertory on page 159. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, in the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son. You have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them, receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away. Sins are forgiven. Amen.
day with the Lord. Welcome to the table of the Lord.
May God keep your grasp of grace and truth forever. True body of Jesus Christ, amen.
May God keep your grasp of grace and truth forever.
May God keep you your grasp of grace and truth forever.
May God keep you your grasp of grace and truth. To the table of the Lord.
The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. The true blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. The true blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. The true blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. Peace and joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord.
True body of Jesus Christ. True body of Jesus Christ. True body of Jesus Christ.
Please stand.
Thank the Lord and sing His praise. Tell everyone what He has done.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. Our closing hymn is number 672.
Spirit and